This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Well, Sharon is from Connecticut. She's a school teacher, high school teacher. She says 23 years ago, she was called to a high school to be the long-term sub for a school teacher. She was told he was going into for medical treatment. Well, she found out later it was alcohol rehab. And she said there was a young man in the class, interestingly enough, named Randy, who would just every day say, "Can I have a pass to the restroom?" She didn't know what he was doing. She was so consumed by all the wild stuff going on, she would hand him a pass. He was using drugs. And that was 23 years ago. And she's kept in touch with this young man named Randy because he got in legal trouble, went before a judge because of a fight that ended in some people getting really hurt in the school. And she told him, keep in touch over the years. And from time to time, she would hear from Randy. And I want to read the paragraph that she writes about that. "Last week," he called. "He wanted to tell me about one of the steps he was working on with 12-step. Alcoholics Anonymous. And he said, I want to share the prayer that he was reading. And he said, I want to share the prayer that I will be reading to the rest of the group. God, I'm agitated and I'm doubtful right now. God, save me from fear, from anger, from worry, from self-pity and foolish decisions." And then without any context, Sharon ends her writing by saying this, "So thank God for second chances." May I tell you something? You serve a God, and you have a God who is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances, not just second chances. And today in the book we're studying in the Old Testament, Jonah, we read about Jonah's second chance. He was told by God to preach to Nineveh. He refused. He buys a boat ticket to the farthest place on earth. It was like going around the world. It's only going to Spain on the Mediterranean. And you know the story. I won't go into it. We've had 4 weeks of talking about Jonah and the great fish. And finally, second chance by God. God spared his life through the fish. You know, we think God was really ticked at Jonah because he was thrown overboard on the ship on the Mediterranean and a fish swallowed him. We say, man, God was really ticked. No, God was sparing him. And sometimes what some of you have called the anger of God was really the grace of God. And God was sparing you in a situation. You thought God was punishing you, but he was sparing you. That may be a word for somebody today. I want us to read Jonah 3, beginning at verse 3. Jonah's second chance today when God sees a response. Let's read it together. "Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went to Nineveh, finally. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warnings reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, which was an act of humility and contrition, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let the people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. What a statement. God relented.
Now then, today, part two of the fifth message in our series from the book of Jonah. The series is called When God Pursues, and this particular message is When God Sees a Response. God acts when he sees a response from you and me spiritually. He really does. God responds to your response to him. That's the message all this week on Cross Hope. God bless you as you listen to part two.
What I'd like to do today is to tell you the three evidences of what repentance is. And I'd like for you in your notes, those of you that take notes, just 1, 2, 3. Most of you have done that before, and that's pretty simple. Just write down 1, 2, 3. Three evidences in Jonah 3 about repentance. It starts in verse 3. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord. Finally, second chance, and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. I found out that word overturned in the Hebrew can mean turned inside out. You know, some of you are ahead of me. You know where I'm going with this. You know what I thought of about Nineveh being destroyed? I thought of the images that have been on the news every night. Israel and Gaza, and you see the buildings just collapsed. Not making any political statements about what's going on there. It's a horrible mess there. And I think of the buildings being destroyed. And God said, in 40 days, if you people don't repent, the city's going to be turned inside out, which I took to mean totally overthrown. And I want you to notice the first act of repentance is in verse 5, right at the beginning. The Ninevites believed God. Do you want to know what the first act of repentance is for a man in this room who's not walking in the way he should walk and a woman in this room who's not walking the way she should walk? You believe God. You believe God about your sin. You believe God about his love. You believe God about the cross. You believe God about forgiveness. That's the first step of repentance. Did you know Jesus said about himself in John 6? I think it's one of the most incredible statements Jesus ever made. People asked him, what's the work of God? What should we do? What are the things you do when you want to be in the right relationship with God? And you know what Jesus said? Believe in me. And I can just hear people saying, that's it? Yeah, believe in him. Belief is the first step toward a lot of things in your life. Believing is the first step in saving your marriage. Believing is the first step in restoring a relationship with their son or daughter. Believing in the power of God is at work in my situation. So the first thing you do when you repent, you believe God. The Ninevites believed God, and they declared a fast. Why did they do that? Well, it was a way that you could physically declare that you meant business, to go without food. And I want you to notice what the king did. He declared a fast where not even the animals could eat. Now, can you imagine? They're wondering, what's going on? They didn't need to repent. But they had to repent along with the people. And one commentator made an interesting comment. When the animals would be hungry, and some of you with a farming background will know what I'm talking about, those animals would be crying out, somebody bring us something, we're hungry. And it was as if the whole country was crying out to God in repentance. It was a symbolic thing that even they covered the animals with sackcloth as an act of repentance, which I find intriguing. So the first thing to repent, you believe God. But the second thing is in verse 8. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. There's a sense of urgency with repentance.
Well, we'll continue this message from the third chapter of Jonah tomorrow on Cross Hope. You do know that our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Well, I've been sharing with you on Cross Hope the three marks of repentance on behalf of an individual or a community, a church, or a nation. The first one was simply to believe God. The Ninevites, the people of Assyria in the book of Jonah, believed God. That was the first step of repentance. The second step had something to do with a sense of urgency. That's what we talk about right now as we continue this message from the third chapter of Jonah, when God sees a response. God bless you as you listen.
So the first thing to repent, you believe God. But the second thing is in verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. There's a sense of urgency with repentance. What does that mean? I can't tell you how many times over 30-some years in the ministry I've had men, women, teenagers, young people of every age say this, someday I'm going to get right with the Lord. Someday I'm going to stop this stuff that's going on in my life. And someday before I die, before they put me in the grave, I'm going to do this or do that. I've heard many, many people, and you know what? Not trying to be melodramatic, but I have stood over those people's graves and watched as the cemetery workers lowered them into the grave, and knowing that they did not do what they said, someday I'm going to do. The people of Nineveh not only believed God, but they urgently called on him. And you know that you are in a repentant mood when you're doing something urgently for the Lord. You feel compelled, I've got to do this. I can't rest until I repent. I can't rest till I get things right with the Lord. The God of second chances wants me to believe in him, but he also wants me to come urgently to him. And then in the same verse, the third thing is there. Look at the next sentence. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Now, I find this intriguing about the people of Nineveh or Assyria. Nothing said that these were a bunch of party animals and they drank every night and everybody got drunk and they were carousers. We don't hear any of that. But you know what the Bible does say? They were a violent people. Isn't that interesting? And what they knew, they had a sense of conviction. We've got to stop the violence, which is an interesting word for our world today. We've got to stop the violence because they knew that God knew them as a violent people. Again, I'm not going to get into details, but they were so violent. You remember, those of you that have been here, that some towns, when they saw this army coming from Nineveh, they just killed themselves. The mass suicide on behalf of the whole city, because why give them the pleasure of killing us? Let's just kill ourselves. They were known for their violence, and they said, we've got to give it up. And look at verse 9. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Look at verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. You say, Randy, can you give us anything historically to compare to that where there's repentance? Yeah, I can. Some of you are familiar with what's referred to as the Welsh Revival in Wales, 1904, 1905. A young minister, 26 years old, by the name of Evan Roberts, started preaching. And there was such a revival that came out of what he was doing that over 100,000 people came to know the Lord in 1 year, 100,000 in Wales.
Well, this is such an exciting story. I want you to hear the conclusion of this particular story tomorrow on Cross Hope. Remember, our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
You say, Randy, can you give us anything historically to compare to that where there's repentance? Yeah, I can. Some of you are familiar with what's referred to as the Welsh Revival in Wales, 1904, 1905, a young minister, 26 years old, by the name of Evan Roberts, started preaching. And there was such a revival that came out of what he was doing that over 100,000 people came to know the Lord in 1 year, 100,000 in Wales. And it's referred to this day as the Welsh Revival. What an amazing thing that went on for generations. In other words, the impact was felt for generations after that. I'm going to give you a funny story about repentance. It might make you smile, but it's evidence of true repentance. J. Edwin Orr, a professor of church history, describes the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit during the Welsh Revival. As people sought to do what was right, to repent, be filled with the Spirit, they did all they could to confess their wrongdoing and make restitution. But it created serious problems, unexpected problems, for the shipyards along the coast of Wales. Over the years, workers by the hundreds, maybe the thousands, had stolen all kinds of things, from wheelbarrows to hammers. All kinds of tools were stolen by the workers. As these workers came to Christ and became Christians, and wanting to be right with God, they started to return what they had taken. With the result was that soon the shipyards of Wales were overwhelmed with returned property. Piles of wheelbarrows and hammers and picks that these shipbuilders had stolen, tools from their company. There were such huge piles of returned tools that several of the ship companies put up signs that read, "If you have been led by God to return what you have stolen, please know that the management forgives you and wish that you just keep what you've got." That's supposedly a true story. We don't want any more of the stuff back. Keep it. But you know what that's a sign of? Repentance. You know you've repented when there's stuff you're doing to make things right. And don't tell your wife or your husband how you've repented and it's the same old, same old. You talk in the same way. You're doing the same things. You're keeping up the old stuff and then say, but I've repented. No, you haven't. Repentance is change. Repentance is turning. The people of Nineveh said, we've got to give up our violence. And I think for a period of time they did. Eventually the city was destroyed. I think in 612 BC, totally destroyed. But for maybe a generation. You know, just because a current generation repents doesn't mean the next generation is going to repent. Did you know that? Think back to those of you that would remember your parents lived during World War II. There was prayer going on all the time. There were prayer meetings for the soldiers in Europe and in the Pacific. And constantly there was an emphasis on spiritual things. And soldiers were given Bibles by the Army, the Department of Defense, that had the plan of salvation in the front. If you need to give your life to Christ, here's what you do. Can you imagine that today? No. People would laugh at you today. And we did see a generation of that. And so it can happen in a generation and then it can go by the wayside. That's probably what happened with Nineveh.
Well, tomorrow I'm going to share what I consider a fascinating story about God using the second choice in your life, where you didn't get the first choice, but you got the second choice, where God used the second choice, get this, as his first choice. Tune in tomorrow to find out what I mean. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message or any other message you may have missed on Crosshope. God bless you.
I've got an interesting story that I want to share with you about regrets. And it mentioned the University of Dayton. The woman was from Memphis, Tennessee, but it talked about UD. So that caught my eye. Here's what she said. Her name's Jennifer, Memphis, Tennessee. She said all of her years of high school, she had as a goal, I want to go to the University of Pittsburgh. I want to be a Panther. But like a lot of students, she filled out scholarship applications to 20 schools. And as it turned out, the school that she wanted to go to the most, University of Pittsburgh, was the one that offered her the least amount of money. She said, that's where I want to go. I want to go to the University of Pittsburgh. The place that offered her the most money was UD, University of Dayton. She says some negative stuff, so hold on, about Dayton. But it doesn't end that way. It ends on a positive note about Dayton. I hated my first 2 years of undergrad at the University of Dayton. I hated the city of Dayton for being so small. I didn't know you could be mad at a city for being small. And she said, I hated the city of Dayton because they lacked the bridges that you would see in Pittsburgh. I didn't know our bridges were bad compared to Pittsburgh. I knew that I had made a mistake of not trying hard enough in high school, so I didn't see what was in front of me. I couldn't enjoy anything. I was reveling in regret. I kept thinking of what I could have done, only to find that I was exactly where I needed to be. You see, I didn't get to be a Panther. I didn't get to live in Pittsburgh, but I did find my best friends for life in Dayton, Ohio. And I did find what I'd like to do with my life in Dayton, Ohio. What I didn't get pales in comparison to what I found. That's an interesting sentence. I want to read it again. What I didn't get pales in comparison to what I found. I only wish I hadn't wasted my time on regret instead of enjoying life. Isn't that interesting? I only wish I hadn't wasted my time on regret instead of enjoying life. Here's my point in telling Jennifer's story. Her regrets about school, nothing. Nothing. Compared to the regrets that I foresee men and women in eternity facing when they realize I could have given my life to the Lord, but I didn't. My parents talked to me about Christ, but I rejected him. A friend at work talked to me about the Bible and about the Lord, and I said, no, I'm not interested. You talk about regret. When people have to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and know that they went their entire life and never said three words, Jesus is Lord. That's regret. Don't go to your grave saying, someday I'll repent. Don't go to your grave saying, someday I'll get things straightened out with my life. Someday things will be better. And then someday never comes. What is repentance? Three things from Jonah 3. Believe God. Believe God about your sin. Believe God about his forgiveness. Believe God about his reconciliation with you through the cross. Secondly, you come urgently. These people urgently called on God. That's repentance when you call on God now. We're not going to put it off 5 years in the future or till we're on Medicare. Then we'll repent. And then we'll call on God. We call on God now. And thirdly, they changed things. They were going the wrong way and they did a 180 in their behavior. That is repentance. Anybody need to turn today? We all do. Turn away from something and turn to something, to Christ. Believe. Urgently call upon the Lord. And thirdly, turn. That's repentance.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.